cookies. A little child had written this note: take all you want. God's watching the apples. We know that's not true, but to a child, I guess there was, he put a little thought into that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In these three verses, I want to talk to you on this subject. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing on the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come back tonight to your house. Just be with this message. Just help it to get across the point that you have for us. Just thank you for all your blessings to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins his teaching or preaching what is famously called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's just called the Sermon on the Mount because that's just where he delivered it. Most people think, according to Matthew chapter 4:23, that he was just near the Galilee, and so it's in that area that he went. Multitudes of people were coming to hear him preach and teach. And when it says in chapter 5 at the beginning that his disciples were there, it's talking about, not referring to the 12, but talking about the crowds, the multitudes that were gathered. So you've got a lot of people come to hear Jesus in chapter 5, 6, and 7. And he starts in 5 with the Beatitudes. He moves down to the rejection of the Pharisaic traditions, and he opens up in chapter 6 with a rejection of the Pharisaic practices, talking about how in their almsgiving, talking about how they pray and how they fast. Jesus points out that how they do those things is for outward show, but it does not reflect what is in their heart. They're getting their praise before men, so they're not going to get anything when they get to heaven before God. All right, there's two different ways you can serve. You can serve for others or you can serve for God, but that's a whole other thing. So here we come to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And in these three verses, I see three things that will help us answer this question of where is your heart? The first thing is the design. The design. When you look at these three verses, or these first two verses, we see that everybody lays up something somewhere. And in these verses, they give us two options. You can lay your treasures on earth, or you can lay your treasures up in heaven. It's pretty easy. But we don't want to skip past this because it needs to be said. If you lay your treasures up on earth, God gives you a warning. He says three things are going to happen. You've got moth, you've got rust, and you've got thieves. The moth and the rust, they are the eating things, okay? My first truck that I bought was a Dodge Ram, and I was excited about getting this truck. I was pumped. I got a good deal. I found out why later, but I got a good deal, and I took it. The first thing I had to do, I had to fill it up with gas, and after I did that, I wasn't near as excited, but I got it to the house, and I had that thing 6 months. I drove that thing to Iowa. My dad helped me put in a toolbox in the back of it. It was a nice truck. We brought it back from Iowa. We were living in Hickory or Conover at the time, and I would drive it to school. And I thought, man, this is one nice truck. It was 4-wheel drive, 4-door, and then the rust started to kick in. And I think it was a 2004 or 2005, and it just ate that truck up. And I took it back in 6 months. I took it back to the dealer, and I said, "Look, you got to do something about this." And he said, "Well, that's just the way it is." I said, "I didn't pay for a rust bucket," and so I ended up selling it back to him. And he said, "Well, here's the deal. I'll give you a pretty good deal if you buy another vehicle off of me." I said, "I don't. I'm not going to get burnt off you twice." So why did that happen? Okay, come to find out the truck was somewhere up north, exposed to all the elements of the weather that they have up there. It just wasn't a good deal. But what are your treasures on earth? You can have rust eat it, moth will get to it, or thieves can steal it, have the opportunity to steal it. So that's your package on earth if you lay your treasures up on earth. The second option is to lay it up in heaven. And here God gives us a promise. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Moth and rust can't touch it, can't eat it. Thieves can't take it. So this is the design. Everybody's got to lay up your treasures, and you got to pick. So number two, the decision. It just depends on where you're going to pick, where you're going to put your treasures. I used to see this bumper sticker when I was a teenager. It said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." I don't know if anybody's ever seen that bumper sticker, but they're wrong. Okay, it's not about what we store up on earth. You can store up a lot of stuff and lose it really, really quickly. The Bible uses the word treasure here, the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. The Bible refers to this as a storehouse. In modern times, you could call it the bank account. Or if you choose to put your money in possessions rather than trust the bank, your stuff. Okay? And I'm not saying you can't have any treasure. Obviously, you've got to have something, but we'll look at that a little later. So you're going to have to decide where you're going to put your treasure at. Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, this is your destiny, and this is what I want to spend most of the time on, talking about your destiny. You see, the decision you have before you right now will determine your destiny, or just simply where you're going, how you're going to end up. If you choose to ignore the warning of God and lay your treasures upon earth, you're going to lose. If you choose to lay them up in heaven, God will reward you. You keep going, skip down to verse 24, and let's read from verse 24 to verse 34. The Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do service to both. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Now Jesus isn't saying don't worry about covering yourself. That's not the point. We'll get to that in a second. He keeps going, verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they?" This verse is saying, look, the fowls of the air, they don't work, but God takes care of them. They're not stressing about what they're going to put on, okay? They're not stressing about what they're going to eat. It's God's design. He's going to take care of them. Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" You can't do it. A lot of people try. All right, they do stretches, exercises to get taller, to get stronger, but you can't mentally grow yourself, okay? Verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." In these verses, there's three or four times where it says take no thought. Just simply means to seek to promote one's interest. Verse 29, "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Now you think of King Solomon and what he had. He had the Queen of Bathsheba travel to come see his spread. That had to be impressive, because the Queen of Bathsheba wouldn't go that long journey to see some tents, okay? And the Bible is saying that even Solomon in all his glories didn't compare to the lily in the valley that God made, even through all his work. Verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith?" You see, our philosophy in life many times is, I don't have time to take care of God's stuff and my stuff. So here's what we do. We take care of our stuff, our family, and leave God's stuff in the back burner. And that sounds pretty good. You can put that pretty intelligently. Well, God's given me a family. I need to take care of my family. You know, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. Well, that's not the point. The point of this chapter is for God to show us that if you take care of the things of God, God will take care of your basic need. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't have to worry about where you're going to sleep. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. You take care of God's stuff, the thing that God cares about, and God's going to take care of your basic needs. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, here it is again, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows what you need. You know, God's a good God. He's not going to leave you high and dry. You take care of all his stuff, and then he's going to say, well, I'm kind of low this month. We'll see what next month holds. Isn't that what we do in finances? At least sometimes I have to do that, kind of figure out what you can pay when, all right? But God doesn't operate like that. God's saying, you take care of what I want you to take care of, and he's going to take care of our basic needs. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? The eating, the sleeping, and the wearing. That is what we really need to survive in life. The problem is we want to do more than survive. We want to thrive, okay? And we put our whole attention, our whole focus on thriving in this world. If you think, if you just live to be 100, that's a long time. But really, that's not, okay? I hope I don't live that long. I want to go to heaven real soon, okay? But if I just live to 70, all right, that's fine with me. If I just live to 70, I've got 50-some years left, okay? That's not long. And if I waste my 50-some years in trying to put in what I can do in this life, have the most fun, have the most stuff, I've wasted my life. And God said, you don't concentrate on that. You concentrate on what I want you to do, which is what? Seeking first the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people want their way in a lot of different things rather than what God wants them to do. You look at verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here it is again, take no thought for the morrow. Don't be consumed. Don't promote your own interests. You put your focus on seeking God and the things of God with your heart, with all your heart, and God will take care of you. It's as simple as that. You know, God is not after your treasures. He is after your heart. God doesn't need your treasures. He needs your heart. You know, I was about to entitle this message, Where is Your Treasure? But it's not about where our treasure is. That's what we think. I almost missed this whole thing. Okay, it wasn't until this afternoon that I really got it, all right? Because I was focused on, okay, where's my treasure? Okay, is it on earth or is it in heaven? But that's not the whole idea. The whole idea is where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you want to have a heart for God, okay, you're not going to be focused on the treasures of earth. You're going to be focused on having a heart for God. And if that's where your focus is, your treasure is going to be laid up in heaven. See, you don't have to worry about, okay, is my treasure going to be up in heaven? Because I want to have a good inheritance, so to speak, when I get to heaven. I don't want to have anything that I can't look at and give to Jesus. Okay, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be ashamed of Jesus. At least I don't. You know, you get to heaven, and you're the guy or you're the woman there standing, you don't have anything to give to Jesus because you've wasted your whole life building your stuff, your treasure that's already gone, It's already junk. Stuff gets old, falls apart, all right? And it's useless. You don't want to be up in heaven and says, you know, my stuff's down on earth, and you don't want it anyway. You don't want to be that person. Instead, you want to be the Christian that had a heart for God on earth, that saw God take care of your basic needs on earth. When you get to heaven, you're going to have treasure to give to Jesus. That's the whole point. Many times we get this thing all confused on treasure, but it's not. It's on where your heart is. That is what God is trying to show us. That's what Jesus is trying to show these people. You know, the disciples, the followers that were listening to Jesus preach, they didn't have a good example. They had the example of the Pharisees and the scribes, okay? Those guys, you didn't want to, if you modeled your life after those guys, you would have your treasures on earth, because all that they did was for pleasing other people. All that they did was for the eye service of other people. They were men pleasers. So hearing Jesus talk about these things had to be confusing, because the religious leaders of their day that were teaching them and showing them the way to God, they didn't do this with the heart. They were looking around to see who was looking at them before they did an act of kindness or an act of service, because if nobody was looking, they weren't going to do it. And many times I wonder if that's the way we operate, or if that's the way I operate. Look around before you pick up that piece of trash in the bathroom. If nobody's in the bathroom, next person can get it. All right? That's just a little example. But it starts the process of thinking, why do we serve God? Why are we faithful? Is it because of that verse in Corinthians, is required in faith in stewards that a man be faithful? Okay? God can't use somebody that's not faithful. And it all goes back to where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you have a heart for God, you will not be focused on putting your treasure upon earth. If you do that, you'll lose it. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." When God looks down and sees us, does he see someone who can show that he can show himself strong in? Because he's looking for a perfect heart. And if our heart is so busy and so focused on the things of this world, our heart's not perfect. You know, God takes care of our basic needs. He's also so good to us that he blesses us with stuff that we don't need just because he can. See, you can't outgive God in your life. I don't really know how it works, but I've seen that happen. Okay? It really doesn't add up if you look at a checkbook. But it happens. Yes, God meets your needs if you take care of what God wants you to take care of by seeking first the kingdom of God. Let's go ahead and bow our hearts and bow our heads for an invitation. As we think of this chapter, and as the followers of Jesus